Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elia Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app.
Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken, Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two, Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner.
Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tossed Popcorn is a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, I'm Liana Holston.
And I'm Sienna Jekyll.
And you know what? Welcome to Tossed Popcorn, the podcast where two idiots watch every film on the AFI's 100 greatest American movies of all time, the very slightly less racist 10th anniversary edition.
This podcast is a safe space for people who don't know anything about movies. Today, we're watching Swing Time.
You're fired.
Okay, Swivelpuss.
Number 90 on the AFI list. Warning, there will be spoilers about this surprise racist old film.
Content warning, we will be discussing blackface and minstrelsy in American media, and specifically in this film, during this episode.
Woohoo! Okay, Liana.
Shit my ass, man.
We
oh my
have
God.
To do an episode on this.
Yeah.
Despite what we may have seen.
Despite what we may have watched, we now must discuss what we did watch.
I would love...
Well, Sienna, yes. I would like please first to hear your prediction.
Oh, wonderful.
Hi, Liana. It's Sienna. I'm about to watch the movie Swing Time.
Swing Time.
I see two options for what this movie could be about. It will either be a gangster film.
Oh.
I'm seeing Zoot Suits, The Pinstripes, etc., etc. Or...
It's Swing Time, see?
It's going to be dance related.
Oh.
That's Swing Time for you.
Yeah.
I don't know which I'd prefer. I don't know which I'd prefer.
Wow.
All right, I love you, goodbye.
Oh. Okay, so you knew nothing.
I knew nothing.
Mm.
Liana?
Yes.
Your prediction.
Hello, Sienna.
Hi.
It's Liana. I am about to watch Swing Time.
Okay.
A movie for which one could have been excited, except I have been forewarned that there is some fucked up shit in this film. I have also seen the poster for it, so I predict Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers are going to do some very excellent choreography, but then also some fucked up shit is going to happen. God damn it, Hollywood. Love you. Bye.
Oh, okay. Just some context for the listeners. Mm-hmm. I watched the movie super early this week, and I did inform Liana.
It's one of those, the reason this podcast exists moments where we're saying, excuse me, what is this movie doing on this list without any sort of caveats?
Totally. But I kind of wish that I hadn't that you hadn't known? Because I knew it would inform your whole viewing experience.
I didn't know the full context. Like, I didn't know. Well, we'll get to it. It was still surprising.
Yes.
In a way.
I did not expect it at all.
Mm-hmm.
It really, really surprised me.
If you could please, for our kind listeners, give a synopsis of the... It's just so...
Give
sorry,
a synopsis of the movie
Swing Time.
Yes. Swing Time! 1936? Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah.
This is a Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers movie. A dynamic duo in a movie. There's a little bit less dancing than you'd expect, first of all. Fred Astaire and his older sidekick man, Pops, are gamblers as well as dancers. Fred begins the movie missing his wedding and then vowing to make $25,000 to impress his fiancée's father. He will return to marry her once he has the money. Ginger Rogers and her older sidekick woman, Mabel, play dance instructors. Kind of, but like they get fired. I don't know. Fred and Ginger start dancing together professionally and they fall in love. But there's the Fred's fiance issue. Towards the end, there's a super duper long blackface number. The end.
Yeah. It really ends the movie. It really does.
It's kind of like...
It ends the viewing experience for anybody who was enjoying it.
Yep.
Yeah. These are small details that probably don't matter, but my brain won't let me not say them.
No, please.
Which is that his assistant, his older like friend Pop, he's not a dancer. He just like works for the dance company.
Oh.
Like it's very unclear what his job is.
Okay.
And then her older friend is like the receptionist at the dance school.
Right.
And they just like play on that by having them do a like quote unquote dance number. But the whole comedy of it is like, see how
they
dumpy they are?
Really dancers? That's so funny because everybody at the time was so competent at dancing that to me it looked totally fine. It didn't look like Fred and Ginger, but...
Yeah, that's the film. It's like wonderful and then it's horrible.
I thought it was okay, and then it was horrible.
Interesting. Yeah, I think this makes sense for both of us.
Yeah.
I think our takes on this are going to just really make sense.
Okay, great. Okay, good. We'll have things to talk about. Thank God. Okay. Well, Liana, it's time. We're going to need some historical context for this disappointingly old movie.
Disappointingly old. Oh, God. A waltz to three to you, and welcome to the historical context for Swing Time, the 1936 sort of dance romance comedy, a dance rom-com, if you will. The song The Way You Look Tonight is like apparently from this movie and won the Best Original Song Oscar for that year, which I didn't realize it was actually from this film.
I was wondering that when it was when it was happening. I was like, okay, this seems like a big moment, and B, this cannot be from this movie. This is way too big.
I was like, this can't be from this movie because they're not giving like quite enough emphasis on the fact that this is like one of the best songs in the world.
I know.
Or if not the best, like just everyone knows it at the very least. But yeah, I mean, that's just what happens when people do things that become iconic.
Wowie.
Wowie. Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers made a total of 10 movies together. They made 9 at RKO between the years 1933 to 1939. And this was their 6th of the 10 that they ultimately made together. Criterion phrased well their dynamic and why it works so well, calling it, quote, a fusion between her down-to-earth realism and his anti-gravity romanticism.
Aw.
I know. I was like, oh, yeah, that is what it is. They also, these movies were coming out during the Great Depression, so audiences were seeing them and just feeling a little bit better, and I think that is one of the things that helped really propel them to stardom.
And that's all the time that we have to focus on Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers, because now we have to talk about the fact that Fred Astaire performs a number in blackface in the movie Swing Time.
A really, really long number, which was it was the climax of the film.
It was so long that the platform I was watching it on took an ad break in the middle of it.
Oh, no!
That's how long, and I was just staring and then seeing a commercial and staring again in abject horror. Okay. This number that Fred Astaire performs, it's the second to last dance number in the movie, comes out of absolutely nowhere. They like share a kiss and then he turns around and starts putting on blackface. And it was like, what the fuck?
It is the most American moment.
Okay, so this number, the title of this number is called Bojangles in Harlem. It is ostensibly a tribute to black tap dancer Bill Bojangles Robinson. And also, the dancing style that Fred Astaire performs is less similar to Bill Robinson's dancing style and perhaps more similar to the dancing style of John W. Bubbles, who is another black tap dancer who taught Fred Astaire tap in 1920 or so. Mm-hmm. Bill Robinson lived from 1878 to 1949. He started dancing on the vaudeville circuit, then Broadway, then film. And one thing that set him apart, or one sort of big step that he made in the vaudeville circuit specifically, was that he did not perform in blackface. Many black performers at the time were obligated to or very pressured to perform in blackface, mm-hmm. because that was like the only way they were able to perform in front of white audiences, but he didn't. So that was like an initial sort of moment mm-hmm. of progress and step forward that he made in the industry. He wow. ultimately ended up headlining at New York's Palace Theater. Bill Robinson was one of the first black performers to do so solo, typically in the vaudeville circuit and just generally at the time. If you were a black performer, you had to be a double act. You couldn't perform solo. So it was very groundbreaking that wow. he was like one of the first to do a solo act. And during this act, he would dance up and down the stairs that led from the stage to the orchestra pit. And through that developed what became his very iconic quote unquote stair dance, where he would like tap dance up and down stairs. And it became so iconic that he ultimately ended up like making movies with Shirley Temple in which they perform like a dance up and down the stairs
oh, yeah, yeah.
together. Bill Robinson was making movies into his 70s. He became known affectionately as the Mayor of Harlem and was so beloved and so renowned for his work in the tap dance form that in 1989, Congress named his birthday, May 25th, National Tap Dancing Day.
Aww.
I know, which I think is very nice.
Congress does that?
Yeah, I guess who else would, right? There are a lot of like kind of just wrong takes on this number specifically where people are trying to defend Fred Astaire for it and saying like he didn't perform in the full like minstrel costume. It was designed to be a tribute. It was designed to be paying respect and honoring this man, Bill Robinson, who paved the way for so many and revolutionized the form of tap dancing. But at the end of the day, he is performing in blackface. Like, it is just, there is no excuse for it.
It's impossible to watch today and be comfortable with it.
Yeah, 100%. To build off of that, a bit of a rough timeline of blackface in American media specifically. White people have been doing blackface since like medieval times. Hello, Othello, etc. Other productions such as that. But in this historical context, I'm going to focus specifically on American entertainment and the way that it has developed here, because this is a American movie on the 100 greatest American movies of all mm-hmm. time list made by the American Film Institute. From the Associated Press, quote, blackface minstrelsy is considered by some to be the first uniquely American form of entertainment, yep. end quote. And as you said earlier, it was very American, this number that we saw. In the 1830s is when the first minstrel shows were performed in New York by white performers in blackface.
Minstrelsy is defined by the National Museum of African American History and Culture as, quote, comedic performances of blackness by whites in exaggerated costumes and makeup, end quote. For anybody unfamiliar, it relies heavily on extremely offensive and stereotypical tropes about black people, and specifically like stock characters of either enslaved people or like people living in the city type things. The first blackface character was named Jim Crow. Jim Crow laws were literally named after this character. So the laws that were designed to implement more racial segregation in the American South were named after this character, developed through Minstrelsy in New York. Just again to emphasize how deeply racist this like performance mode is. By 1845, performing in blackface in minstrel shows was an entire sub-industry in American entertainment. But also, it is very worth noting that since its inception, there has been outcry against blackface and against these minstrel shows. In 1848, Frederick Douglass was quoted calling blackface performers, quote, the filthy scum of white society, end quote, after seeing people perform in blackface. And so it's, again, since the dawn of it, people have been like, hey, this is terrible and we shouldn't do it. So for almost 100 years before swing time, people had been saying, hey, this is terrible and we shouldn't do it. By the early 20th century, new media took minstrel performances from the stage to radio, to television, and into film theaters, and it became so ubiquitous throughout America and also the world. One notable example of this was something called the Black and White Minstrel Show, ran on BBC One television in the UK until its cancellation in 1978. But for two decades, they performed literally minstrel songs and in blackface.
Whoa.
On a TV show that ran on a major network in the United Kingdom. And just to hearken back for a moment to this attempted argument that Fred Astaire's performance is a tribute and that somehow makes it like more acceptable or less harmful, I want to end with a quote from Ayanna Thompson, writing for Smithsonian Magazine. Quote, all applications of blackface, whether on opera stages or television screens, objectify blackness, denigrate black identities, and render the making of black created stories that much more difficult. End quote. And that is the end of the historical context for Swing Time, a movie that really shoots itself in the fucking foot.
Yes. Liana, thank you so much for that very important historical context. Hi, guys. Sorry, we're going to take an ad break because we're trying to earn $25,000 so we can impress our fiancé's dad. Please bear with us. We'll be right back.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app.
Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner. Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Another terrible take that I read. A few different people were like, I mean, he only did blackface once. He didn't do it ever again. And it's like, excuse me, that is not the point.
Then why is this the one on the list?
Exactly. I mean, it's so, again, like insidious to me that of the 10 movies that Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers made together, like the one where he does blackface is the one that makes it onto their list of 100 greatest movies.
Yeah.
Oy.
Well,
okay.
We're going to talk about other parts of the movie too today.
Yeah, we're now moving on to our phone notes where we read the notes that that each of us took on our phones while watching the movie. And I have a sense, I think these are going to be sort of just a before and an after energy. Because again, the performance, the number in blackface happens really late in the film.
It is the final dance number. Or second to last.
Yeah, it's the penultimate one. But and everything before that is just like this like sweet dance rom-com thing. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yes.
Liana, you have said this is so true in so many of the movies we've watched. Why are men always running late for their own wedding?
This pisses me off so much every time we see it. Bringing up baby, he's late for his wedding, or he's got to get back to town. He's out of town the day of his wedding. And then this one, he's like, let me just quickly do a performance and then I'll run over to my wedding.
Yeah.
Men are so disrespectful.
That is very disrespectful.
It is so disrespectful to begin a marriage by being late.
This one, what is it that he says? He's like, you can take a bow. I need to get married.
Oh my gosh.
Well, you need to get married right now. Mm-hmm. And then all of his friends, his dance frat.
Yes, they really are that. I was like, why are all of the newsies like thugs? What is going on?
He's in this dance group and they don't want him to get married because he's just so good. So they're trying to trick him. They're like, you need to get cuffed pants if you want to get married in style.
Yeah. Yeah. So they delay his wedding even further. They lie to him. It's very stressful to watch. Yes, Sienna, this is very funny and also accurate. You've written, if you become financially impressive, I will let you marry my property.
This movie is so, before we even get to the horribly racist stuff,
it
was so a perfect example of how goofily patriarchal every movie is and was
every single
before.
Movie. Yep.
Because they're like, if you go do well in the market, if you become financially stable with man money, you'll impress me and I'll let you have my daughter. And the daughter's like, yay, okay, father. He stood me up, but I would love if he made money like a man.
Yeah, that whole scene, I was like, my guy, you don't want to apologize to the fiance whose wedding you missed? Ridiculous.
Ridiculous. Redonkulous.
It was redonkulous.
Yeah, this is exactly how I felt. This is exactly how I felt. You said, is this Ginger Rogers?
I had no idea.
I had no idea either. It was so weird that I'm surprised that I, because I had seen Fred Astaire around, and he has just like an iconic look, whatever, and as does Ginger Rogers, but of course they made every woman look exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
Blonde hair.
I was thinking about that.
Smooth face.
Smooth face. So beautiful, though. But I was thinking about that today, looking at photos of them. I was like, wow, he really was allowed to just be like kind of a goofy looking guy.
Yeah.
And she was a stunning, classic beauty who was also unbelievably excellent at dancing.
She was so good.
Backwards and in heels, baby.
Oh my gosh, Liana, this is so funny. This is so funny. You said, Fred has drama club sex eyes. I know exactly what you mean.
Mm-hmm. We talked about this, what was this, 2 episodes ago? It was Platoon. Unbelievably, during Platoon, we talked about drama club sex eyes. I think it's Willem Dafoe.
Drama club sex eyes.
But he hits Charlie Sheen with a gaze during their bong scene, and we referred to it as drama club sex eyes.
We're funny.
Fred Astaire, he hits Ginger Rogers with a gaze early on in the movie, and I was like, oh my God, it's drama club sex eyes.
There it is.
There they are. It's like the billboard from Great Gatsby, but instead of like spooky Oculus vibes, it's drama club sex vibes. So dangerous.
If you know, you know. This is a case of if you know, you know. Such earnestness, such performative earnestness, but you know.
Yeah. Always sort of flirting with you. And sometimes they look at you like you're about to bone.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh my God, it's happening. And then they like turn around and bone someone else. It's crazy.
It's crazy.
It's like trying to predict the weather in Colorado. Like you just can't know what's going to happen next. And that is exactly his sexual energy.
Yeah. And that's her frustration for like the whole thing. She's like, what the crap?
Yeah.
Are you giving me drama club sex eyes?
Are you or not? And the pissing me off answer is it's both. It's both constantly. Cause he's like, I really love this woman, but oh my God, my freaking fiance back home.
Yeah.
Coward.
Liana, you wrote down the phrase that I forget where they use it exactly in the movie, but to know how to dance is to know how to control yourself.
This is right in that same scene, like right when he walks into the dance school.
It's like their motto of the dance school.
Yeah. And I was like, huh. I guess.
I guess so.
That's really how I felt about that phrase. I was like, that's not how I guess I would summarize what dancing is to me, but it's not wrong at the same time. Like there is, I'm always trying to figure out why it is it's so hot to me when when a man can dance really well.
Yeah.
And maybe some of it is self-control. I think more of it is just that getting in the car energy. Like they'll go and they'll learn something and then get really good at it.
Totally.
And it's something that's not just misogyny.
Yeah.
When a man learns something and gets really good at it and it's not misogyny.
Yeah. Usually that's their only skill.
That's so hot. Yeah. There was so much of this movie that was so funny up until it ruined itself.
Yeah.
Another really funny thing was which war? You said that's a little 1930s humor for you.
Yeah.
But she's like, it was before the war. And then as a joke of like, you seem old.
How old are you? Yeah.
He said, which war? And I was like, that's great. That's so fun. I love that.
And I know we'll talk about it because I knew you would love it too. Just the whole like, okay, why aren't we boning?
Yep.
I love that she got to have a whole song just about that. It's like, okay.
Why won't you bone me?
Liana, you wrote, a fine romance with no kisses. Okay, mood.
Mood. It was mood as hell.
A fine.
It was such a mood.
Romance with no kisses.
I have had so many of those. I was thinking about my Love Island application the other day.
Yes,
and I was like, yeah, if
way,
they asked me, thank you so much for, yep, I applied. I did what thousands do. I applied. What more people per year than applying for Cambridge and Oxford combined do. I was thinking about that, like if I ever have to sum up my dating history or going on dates here in this new city and people are like, when was your last relationship? And I have to be like, listen, I've had a lot of fine romances with no kisses. That's sort of been my history. It's so accurate. It was the original situationship.
Yeah. A fine romance with no kisses. Okay, Liana. Now, I feel it's time to discuss the switch. Like the moment where things twist or switch around.
He turns around and everything changes.
I think that I'll just explain a little bit the actual scene because it was like...
Mm-hmm. You described it as like, so American.
So American. Like comically offensive and apt. Mm. Like it just like it was such a quick turnaround. You're waiting the entire time for Ginger Rogers and Fred Astaire to kiss. And they finally, there's this very cute moment where they are really nervous with each other and they're behind near a door and they lean in and then somebody opens the door. And then when they close the door, they're both really nervous and like laughing because they had this really cute kiss and you go,
they're
that
so
was
happy.
So cute. And then Ginger Rogers nervously leaves the room and then Fred Astaire.
They're smiling so much.
Fred Astaire excitedly bounds over to the makeup table to prepare for his dance and you go, yay. And then you go, wait, Fred, what did you just pick up? You're putting something weird on your face. Fred, no. Fred, oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you become aware, oh yeah, it's 1936. It very much felt horror vibes in that it happened so suddenly and you felt so.
Yep. Well, and the way that he like dons the paint, he's like smiling and it's so normal and every day, the way that he's putting it on, you're like slapped in the face with the reminder of like, this was so common at the time. Because again, like American entertainment is founded on this violently racist style.
Yeah.
It felt very villainous. It was evil. It felt evil. It felt like we were watching something very evil.
Evil,
like,
yeah. It did feel evil. It was after this whole movie you've been watching, you're like, this was you?
It just really did feel like the movie shot itself in the foot with that. And ruined itself. The reason we need to be talking about it is the fact that it is on this list, again, with like no caveats. And that's what we're coming up against so often with these movies is like, obviously things are going to be products of their time, but the fact that you're continuing to celebrate them with no nuance and no discussion of like, here were the things that were appreciated about it at the time, and here are the ways in which like it no longer serves as like one of the 100 greatest movies, and it cannot inherently, because it used literal blackface. You cannot have a movie on the list of 100 greatest American movies. You can have it on the list of 100 most American movies. It certainly was very American, 100%.
That's really funny. We have to
But greatest? I think we're watching the 100 most American movies of all time. I think that's really what we've been watching.
We need to write them. We need to write them about this.
1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. Ad break now. We'll be back soon. Bye.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app.
Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner. Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no, 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 no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, yes, I think you are right. We can move onward to our segment, Badges and Trages, in which we probably had some badges at the beginning of the film, and then we award trages for the elements of the film that felt genuinely tragic in some way.
Okay. My first badge is for something that genuinely made me laugh a lot, which is at the beginning when they're trying to, that the dance frat is trying to stop Fred from going to his wedding. The bride's father calls and is like, is this Fred Astaire? Where's Fred Astaire? And then one of the dance bros pretends to be him. One of the dance bros is on the phone and is like, oh, Fred's not going to make it. And Fred is like, wait, who's on the phone? And he's like, oh, it's my girlfriend. And so then this dance frat boy says to the father of the bride, he says, all right, and here's a big juicy kiss from me. And then the father of the bride throws the phone in a way that is so disturbed and disgusted. It was really funny.
Tossed phones. I have a badge for the pets glaring at him too. When Fred Astaire finally arrives for the wedding that ends up not happening, the father of the bride glares at him, the bride glares at him, the dog glares at him, and the cat glares at him. And that was very funny.
I have a badge for Pops or Pop. I loved his vibe.
I was curious about it. I wanted to understand it a little bit more. I couldn't really figure out what was going on. Badge for the back of this wedding gown. I mean, the gowns in this movie in general.
Yeah. Yeah.
They were, I mean, wow.
I have a badge for Swivelpuss is an awesome name.
I could not believe once again they said puss in a film.
That was Mabel who said that, who was also incredible. And that's just such a, all right, Swivelpuss.
Yeah.
That is an amazing turn of phrase. Spectacular. Mm.
A badge for Ginger Rogers. I mean, again, backwards and in heels, as history says. But she was so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
This whole time. I loved her character.
I also have a badge for Ginger Rogers. I didn't realize how, I don't know, spunky, how she was a little, she had a tiny bit gruff, and I loved it.
Yeah. She was from the city. She knew what was going on.
The city.
She had her wits about her. A badge for this bunny next to the chair in the hotel room before he sings The Way You Look Tonight. He sits down and puts his little protest sign down, and there's a little like plush bunny next to the chair that he sits in. It was so cute.
Huh.
And then my last badge was for the dancing in the movie, but unfortunately it is now a redacted badge. It no longer applies.
My last badge was for, I wrote this nervous shot. Oh, the nervous shot is so relatable. That was when Ginger Rogers was really nervous because she had to go tell him that she liked him.
Yeah.
And they have
it was the last good happy moment of the film.
It's the last time you will feel safe.
Yeah.
And okay watching this movie, because she walks into that room, and then right after that is when he ends up hopping in the chair and turning things around.
Yeah. Well, speaking of turning things around,
trages. My first trage, again from the beginning of the movie, so patriarchal, lol.
My first trage is a trage for the front of this wedding gown. I loved the back, and I thought the front was actually terrible.
I don't remember it, but that's so funny. Oh, I love that. Oh, except for the front, which is terrible.
It was actually like an early portender of what the movie was going to be.
Yeah.
It's like, you're going to love half of this and then you're going to be horrified.
I have a trage for Fred Astaire calls Ginger Rogers a little girl. He says to the cop who's like yells at her or something. He's like, what'd you do to that little girl? Gross.
Mm. Gross. A trage for Ginger Rogers' character calls the cop a slur. And I was like, oh my God, trage.
Trage for that first song was an absolute stinker. The very first one, I was like,
to like pull yourself up, whatever.
Yeah, they obviously had to do a song. I know that that's they're gonna.
They clearly had to.
I know that's what they did at the time, but that one, they should not be proud of that.
Yeah. A trage for the word instructress. This is right before the word swivel puss is said.
Okay.
But he's like, oh, I'll find you a different instructress. I was like, why did we have to gender that word?
Instructinista, please.
I prefer instructor.
Do you get instructor? It? Instructor?
Exactly. That's what
that's
I said.
Funny. No, yeah. I'm checking.
Oh, good. Do you see my fear kick in that you had said my joke, but louder?
No.
I was like, no, I said that. I said that first.
Trage for her dress. Sometimes they were very pretty, but sometimes they covered her legs so much when she was dancing. And I wanted to be more dancerly than gowny because I wanted to see her fast feet. Wow. Because he was wearing pants.
You wanted to see more of a woman's body. That's interesting.
She could have been wearing pants. That would be fine.
That's interesting that you wanted her to be in a more revealing outfit.
I wanted to see her butt. I said, more butt.
Trage for, I didn't get to see her butt. A trage for a continuity error with this hat. It gets, his little boulder hat gets hit with a snowball, and then in the next cut, there's no dent in it. And I said, excuse me.
Excuse me. My next trage is, oh my God!
And oh, so shoot. You can okay. guess. So I have one more trage before that, which okay. is a trage for these plasticky tablecloths. I was displeased.
Of course.
This no, is again, my we, God we thought we were happy, we were carefree. We thought the world was bright and joyous and full of wonder. And I was like, oh, the plasticky tablecloths at this venue are kind of killing the mood of this otherwise gorgeous Art Deco place. And then I said, my final thing that I wrote was, trage doesn't begin to cover it.
Yeah, and I also want to make it clear, like, this is a trage for, a very, very big trage for this being in this movie in particular, because yes, it's like, okay, A, whole movie ruined, and then B, you're like, this whole movie wasn't what I thought it was. But then also, it's very, very much an existential trage that I think we're both experiencing, which is like, of course, this is an extremely strong part of American history and the kind of performances that were happening at the time for a very long time. I know that this isn't the first instance or only instance of blackface in American movies. Like, it's just really, it's really frustrating and upsetting and disappointing that that is the case.
Mm-hmm. I think it's so unsettling to see it in a movie that isn't about that at all.
Totally.
The way that it comes out of nowhere. The word I don't think is correct for it, or doesn't sounds incorrect, is unnecessary, but it it I just contributed nothing to like the plot of the film. It wasn't it just it was so terrifyingly pedestrian and like every day, as is the word I said before, but
it's just another style.
It was just not out of the ordinary at all in such an unsettling way.
Yeah, it was just like another style. They're like, oh, that'll be like a fun.
Yeah. Like fun. We've done waltz, we've done tap. Let's do
the racist
one. Minstrel number.
Yeah.
God.
It's so just like,
ugh.
Again, there's so many other words for it, but it's so existentially deeply disrespectful to an entire community, to such an important part of our country. It's just like,
tragic.
Liana, shall we move on to our next segment?
Yes, let us waltz into how to pretend you've seen this film. This is for you are
You are on the dance floor. Mm-hmm. Just trying to enjoy the music. Shake your sillies out after a long week at the office. You're at the corporate dance floor.
Yeah.
And Fred is coming up to you saying, "Oh, golly gee, I love a dance floor. It's always so sweeping, and there's such good gowns, and my trousers with their cuffs or non-cuffs, depending on the style of the time. It really all reminds me of my favorite movie with absolutely no flaws in it. Nothing that anybody needs to disclose before pressing play. A movie called Swing Time, and I'm gonna dance you through every single number in that film, including the longest and worst one,
and
right
in
now."
To stop Fred from pirouetting at you about this movie, we're gonna give you a few things that you can say to pretend that you have seen the film Swing Time. Yeah, Fred, I've seen the movie Swing Time. That's the one where Fred Astaire does blackface.
Oh, Fred, I actually don't have time to listen to you because only this afternoon I made $200. Also, that's the movie where Fred Astaire does blackface.
Yes, Fred, I have seen the movie Swing Time. There's not as much dancing as you might expect in that movie for it being a very dancer-forward film. There are some kind of fun side characters in that one. I remember the two sidekick characters I kind of enjoyed. But I don't know why you're talking to me about this movie because, which should be noted, this is the film in which Fred Astaire does blackface.
Oh, Fred, you don't want to talk to me. I'm as awkward as a camel. Also, please stop bringing this film up without mentioning the fact that it's the film in which Fred Astaire does blackface.
Yes, Fred, I have seen the movie Swing Time. That is a great example of a film that tells us a lot about American values throughout history because you can see the Hays Codes in place because we never actually see anyone kiss. However, the Hays Codes did not apply to stopping Fred Astaire from doing blackface.
Wow. That's a very good point.
Pretty disappointing. Why would you tell me about this? Why would you be talking to me about this movie on the let me shake my little ass on the dance floor?
Yes, yes. And then you shake your little ass so hard that Fred is shaken off the floor.
Whoa!
And you shake ass, you throw ass into our next segment, Should You Watch This Or? In which we tell you if we think you should watch this movie or if you should do something else with your time. Sienna, what would you say?
I would say that you do not need to watch this movie.
Yeah.
Me, personally, I would say just like don't. Something you could watch instead, something I was thinking about during it, is there is this gambling through line that is kind of on and off. Like they don't really commit to it all the way. But something you could watch instead is the show Poker Face.
Is it Natasha Lyonne?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a fun little show. Gambling vibes. Not as much dancing, but there's some happy-go-lucky moments that also turn on you by the end, because everything, there's always like an evil twist, similar to this movie. except for it is less founded in the deeply racist American traditions that we haven't...
Reckoned with,
yeah. Fully. Liana, what about yourself?
No, don't watch this movie. Don't do it. I think something you could do instead is you could YouTube clips of Bill Robinson's dancing, especially his like stair dance that he became very famous for. That's S-T-A-I-R, dancing on stairs. I was watching some clips this afternoon and it's so fun. It's so fun to watch. That's and it's very great. Cool that we have like footage of it as well.
Yeah. Now we don't need to pay homage in horrible
no,
ways.
No, because you could just watch the original person doing the form. Yeah, that's what I would say. Bill Robinson... the stair dance, S-T-A-I-R, dance.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
Yes.
Liana, what would you rate the film?
I mean, it's getting a flat zero. It has to.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it canceled itself out. I enjoyed so much of it, and then it ruined itself.
Yeah.
Due to intrinsic, systemic, abhorrent
racist practices.
Yep.
How about you, Sienna?
I feel the same way. What did you give it? 0 out of 5?
Zero. 0 asbestos snowballs out of 5.
I feel the same way. Same reasons. It failed the assignment. And so I am giving it 0 decks of cards out of 5. Mm. Me personally, I didn't think it was that good to begin with. it was more happy-go-lucky and, like, you know, going to just be a cute movie before all the racism, et cetera.
Yeah.
But you know, it wasn't really, there were some stinker songs. It was clearly dancer forward and they didn't have that much dancing. So, you know, I'm sure there are better Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers movies. Me personally, I just, like, again, we've talked about how complex this is because you don't want to pretend that, like, the whole minstrelsy tradition never happened. But I just truly don't feel that I have the right to watch racist things when I'm not like being asked to watch them by the people they're harming. You know, like I just don't want to, for my own enjoyment or my own recreation, watch really racist or offensive depictions the same way that, you know, I wouldn't want anybody to watch really horrible, like, sexist depictions of things, you know, like, of course, like, I just don't feel that I have the right to view that. And so that is why I feel very much like, no, I'm going to avert my eyes and I don't think anybody should watch. That's like the people who it offends or the people who it's harming didn't have a say then. So sweet 0 out of 5. They failed the assignment. Too bad. Too bad.
Really too bad. And there it is, everybody. We watched Swing Time, an unexpectedly evil movie.
Evil, yeah. Evil.
Thank you, everybody, so much for listening. We are Tossed Popcorn. You can find us on Instagram at Tossed Popcorn. We post very fun memes every Saturday. We are also on Twitter. We are on TikTok. And we are on Patreon, where we post a lot of bonus content that we throw our whole patrices into every single week. That's patreon.com/tossedpopcorn. Give us a subscription there, if you please. We would really appreciate it. We'd also really appreciate any reviews that you'd be happy to write with the rating of 5 stars. Yes! That is always welcome. And join us next week when we will be watching.
Oh my God!
Is it what I think it is?
Sophie's Choice.
Jesus. Oh my God.
I don't think that's the right. I don't think that's the right call.
Oh,
See, Jesus.
Is it real? Oh. Interesting. I don't know anything about it except the things that I do know about it. Well, we'll fucking see you then.
Yay! We chose to do this podcast.
Yeah, I know. I know. It'll be over so soon.
No!
Thank you.
We love you.
Bye.
You can find us on Instagram as @SiennaJekyll and @LianaHolston. Please check the description for the spelling of our dumb names. We put out episodes every Tuesday, so make sure to subscribe so that you don't miss an episode. See you next week on Tossed Popcorn. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, check the iHeartRadio app.
He was born in 1899. Did you know that?
Wow. No, I didn't know that. I guess I didn't know that.
Fun fact, not everybody knows this. Some people might.
Like,
if you
I
ask
believe
some people
it.
On the sidewalk, like, they would know.
I believe
what
you.
What year? Fred Astaire born. It's 1899.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA. And I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app.
Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken, Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two, Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner. Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.